All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and go to the Gospel of John, chapter 2. John's Gospel, chapter 2. I'm going to read a familiar passage, a passage that I have preached on before, but this is not that sermon. And then I preached on it again, and it's not that sermon. So this is sermon number 3 in the last, 10, 12 years from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. All right, the Bible, this is the story where the Lord Jesus turned the water into wine. And the disciples never got over this. They never got over this miracle. It was the first one that he did. And it was the first one that they witnessed, and they just did not get over it. John is especially excited about it, and he mentions it a couple of times in the rest of this book, and it's just if you look at chapter 4, and verse 46. It says, so Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. All right, so John couldn't get over it. And so when he mentions the city of Cana, he has to remind us that that was where that mighty miracle took place. All right, now for the sake of time, I'm only going to read 5 verses. And I probably should read the whole story, but you follow along as I read the first part of it. It says, and the third day, now the third day, that's resurrection day, all right? And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. So Mary was present. She was there at the wedding. Verse 2, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So evidently this was someone in the family. This was someone close that was getting married, because everybody was invited, it seems, the Lord and as well as his disciples. Verse 3, and when they wanted, now you and I would understand that word wanted as when they lacked wine, when they ran out of wine, when they had no wine, all right? So when they wanted, needed, lacked, ran out, didn't have any, you get the point, don't you? The mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the, who? Servants. Saith unto the servants. Now watch this. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now who's the he? The Lord Jesus. All right. I was thinking about this, and I was reading this the other morning, and I read verse 5, and I thought, wow, there's the solution right there. That's the solution to everything. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So I'm going to preach this morning on I have found the solution. I mean, evidently a lot of folks looking for it. I found it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your wonderful word, and I pray you'll bless this to our hearts. Thank you for the privilege of being able to gather in this church house and to open the word of God and preach from it today. Thank you for that freedom that we still have. At least we still have it now. And Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching of your word today. Touch our hearts, and we'll give you the praise and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. About, Wednesday morning, I think it was, I sat down and, thematic sermons, like 4th of July, Christmas, New Year's, Easter. Easter's not too bad because the resurrection's everywhere. But sermons that have to do with a specific theme, like a holiday, are the most difficult for me for some reason. I don't know why that is. I have friends who say, oh, no, I like that because, it makes it easy. It doesn't make it easy for me. And so I sat down Wednesday morning and I thought, oh, boy, here's 4th of July now. And I got to come up with a 4th of July sermon and yet not tick everybody off. So, I sat down. I started reading the Gospel of John. And I got to verse 5 in this second chapter. And I thought, wow, there it is right there. Right there. And here it is, Independence Day, the birthday of our nation. And I thought, wow, what a great idea this is. I don't know if I can do it justice, but I want to preach this morning on I Have Found the Solution. This is the solution, folks. I have never seen, and I know you haven't either, our nation as divided as our nation is at this present time. There is so much anger, so much hatred, so much disregard for others, so much of a struggle in our country today. It grieves the heart of anyone who genuinely loves America. The news media is one-sided. Our judicial system is one-sided. Our public schools are one-sided. Our universities are one-sided. And those on the left side of the country cannot understand how any of us who disagree with them could possibly disagree with them. They just don't understand how we could see things the other way than the way they see it. The liberal left wants to discredit and defame and delegitimize and to simply cast dispersion on anyone who views the world differently than the way they see it. And it's such a shame how this divide is more affirmed today than it has ever been. The last time the ugliness was as rampant as it is today, the last time when our fellow citizens despised one another like they do today, and the last time that there was open conflict between opinions was back during or before the Civil War. And that's how that got straightened out. Brother went to war against brother. Man, I sure hope the Lord comes back before that happens. But our nation is in trouble today. You know, this familiar story I've preached from it several times. I've gone at it from several different angles. But when I read this story this week, I said to myself, wow, right there is the solution. I have found the solution to really not just what's wrong with America, but what is wrong with the entire world. I mean, this does not just cover America, it covers the whole world. We could fix America, we could fix Canada, and boy, it needs fixing, and we could fix Mexico and South America, and we could fix Europe and we could fix the Middle East. I mean, we could just fix the whole world. We could fix that Ukraine-Russia disaster over there. You say, well, Pastor, how are we going to do that? How do we fix the divide that is in our country? How could we stop the fighting in the Middle East and fix the Russian Ukraine atrocity and stop all the innocents from being murdered and butchered by Vladimir Putin? How do we do that? Well, Mary told these servants who were working the reception of the wedding to go to Jesus and then whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Now, that sounds like a reasonable thing for us to do, don't you think? I mean, I think it's a reasonable thing to do. And the reason that I think it is because we have for a couple of decades now thrown God out of everything we're doing. We have thrown God out of our schools. We have thrown God out of our government. We have thrown God out of the churches. You know that's true. You go in the average church in America today, you will never hear the gospel. Never hear it. They don't even give invitations for folks to accept Christ anymore. And so all of this is happening. All this is going on, and so if you look at the mess that has been created by removing God from everything, if somebody would just get on their knees and say, Lord, tell us what your opinion is. Tell us what to do. And then some preacher stand up somewhere and say, hey, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Just do it. Because, folks, let's be honest, what we're doing right now is not working. It is not working. People don't go to church anymore. They don't attend church anymore. And it just, I'm sure, grieves the heart of God. Now, folks, listen, this is just my opinion. But y'all should have known that I was going to give it when you came to church this morning. All right? This is just my opinion. But I think that there are a lot of people who agree with me about this opinion I'm about to express to you. But things are not working very well with unregenerate man running the show. It's just not working. Now, listen, as a matter of fact, you look around our country and everything is a total disaster. Everything. So I think, and it's just my opinion here, folks, I think that just as these servants who did not know what to do, and it's pretty obvious that our leaders and Congress today have no idea what to do in order to fix things. Amen. You know, it's almost to me, and I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but it's almost to, seems like to me, they're trying to break it. I almost think it's on purpose. Is that your phone? Turn that off. I think it's almost they're trying to do it on purpose. And folks, the sad thing in our nation is that nobody is concerned about it. Nobody in Congress is concerned about it. You say, well, I think so-and-so is. They're not doing anything. Well, I think so-and-so is. No, doesn't seem like it. It's like they're afraid that they're going to turn on them. Well, big whoop. So they turn on you. You know, if somebody like like a Ted Cruz or somebody like a Jim Jordan or somebody like a Congressman Gates or any of those other guys down there, if they would just stand up on the Senate floor or on the House floor and take a stand and say, this is what we need to do, and here's a bill, let's do it. And go the opposite direction from where everybody's going. You say, well, they can't get that through. Seriously? People would support it. The nation would support it. They ought to call press conferences every day and say, here's gas prices. Right here's what we can do to fix it. Here's where we are. This is what we can do to fix it. They ought to call a press conference and get out there and open a Bible and read the Bible to the American people. You say the press wouldn't cover it. Oh, yeah, they would. Oh, look at these morons. But God would take that word and make a conscious, pricking kind of work in their hearts. I'm telling you, folks, it would make a difference. I don't think what they're doing is working at all, do you? So something needs to be done. I know our leaders are never going to consider such a thing as what I'm advising them to do, but wouldn't it be wonderful if the president would go on national TV and say, folks, I've been trying all this woke ideology, and it's killing the nation, and the world is crashing behind us, so we're going to talk to the Lord, and we're going to repent, and then we're going to do whatever he says we're to do. Man, you talk about turning things around. In a heartbeat, it would turn things around. But no, they're so stuck on stupid. And that's what it is. See, you shouldn't say stupid from the pulpit. Well, don't ever do it then. All right, two things, just two things if I have time. Number one, let's look at the inquiry. The inquiry. There are two things I call to your attention about this inquiry from the servants. First, notice the prompting of the inquiry. John tells us the cause of this inquiry was a basic, simple need that came up. In a nutshell, folks, they ran out of refreshments at the wedding reception. Isn't that unreal? Can you imagine running out of refreshments at a wedding reception? Man, would that be embarrassing or what? That would just be awful, I would think. So embarrassing. Why or how this happened, John does not tell us. It is not explained, which shows us that sometimes problems arise and things just don't go the way we want them to go. I mean, that's just life. Now, I know that there's probably some folks sitting here right now, and the only thing you're thinking about is, you see, Pastor, it says wine, so Jesus drank wine. And if Jesus drank wine, then I can drink wine. No. No, 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 no. It's not wine like you and I know wine today. This is juice. You see, folks, they did not have anything other than water. They didn't have Coke. All right? They didn't have Sprite. They didn't have all that stuff. They just didn't have it. You drank water, or you drank fruit juice, or you drank fermented wine. And so you say, well, it says wine. I know what it says, but I can prove to you that this wine that is mentioned here, Jesus did not drink fermented wine. You say, well, how are you going to prove that? All right, think with me for a moment. In the Bible, we are told that the Lord Jesus served communion, the Lord's table, to his disciples on the eve of the crucifixion. Now, what kind of bread did the Lord Jesus use? Unleavened bread, exactly right. Now, folks, listen carefully. Now, this is the kicker. Everybody, slap yourself, wake up. All right, get this now. The Lord Jesus used unleavened bread. Now, you know what that means? That means it's like a saltine cracker. It's got no leaven in it, no yeast. You put yeast in rolls, and it makes them rise, all right? Now, that leaven, listen carefully now, that leaven is to the bread what fermentation is to the wine, all right? Now, listen, if Jesus could not have fermentation in his bread, that means he could not have fermentation in his wine. Does that make sense? Does to me. Does to me. Sure, I'm going to drink because Jesus. I'll just tell the Lord I didn't understand what that meant. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Because you've been told. All right? You've been told. There's no excuse now. And folks, here's the thing. Wine is always, throughout the Old Testament, wine is always a picture of joy in the Scriptures. I mean, if you're at a wedding reception and ran out of refreshments, I'm going to tell you right now, folks are not going to be happy with you. Huh? Yeah, you're sitting down and, you cut a little piece of that camel off and put it on that old cracker, and you go to eat it, and you think, "Whoo, man, whoo! That camel's been across the desert a few times." And then you say, "I need something to wash this down with." I'm sorry, we're out. What? We're out. We don't have any juice. We don't have any refreshments. They ran out, folks. Get that in your imagination and realize. And so Mary steps up and she advised the servants. She advised the servants. And listen, folks, wine, a picture of joy. You know, there's an awful lot of people today, so many people all over our nation. They've lost their joy in life. Where's your joy, Christian? I'm telling you, you need to get it back. You need to get it back. And so Mary advised these servants, you go tell Jesus that we ran out of refreshments, and then whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Now, far too many people today are out of wine. You're just out of joy. Where'd your joy go? Remember when you first got saved? Man, you were bouncing off the walls, weren't you? You couldn't get enough of the Bible. You couldn't get enough of church. When church was over, you went, "Oh, man." And now we sit here and go, "Is my watch broke?" You know? So, they went to Jesus. What Jesus tell them? He said, pull them 6 water pots out, fill them with water, and then as the servants began to serve from out of the water pots, they noticed that a miracle was happening. And the water became wine. Now, folks, the water in the Bible is always a picture of the Word of God. So, whatsoever he saith unto you, that makes sense, doesn't it? right here is what God says to us. So get in the book, find out what the Lord says, then do it. Not that complicated, but we don't want to do that, do we? We want to do what we want to do. So the water of the word gives us the wine of salvation, the joy of salvation. And folks, this is what America needs today. If the Congress went to the Lord this morning and got on their faces before God and said, Lord, everything is a disaster. We have lost our joy as a nation. What do we do? Make no mistake, folks. The Lord Jesus would say, get in my word and let the water of the word turn into the joy of being right with me. Secondly, I want you to notice the person for the inquiry. All right, the person. Now, don't miss this. This is so vital. You see, the servants first, notice this now. I didn't write it, okay? I didn't write it. Look at it. The servants went first to Mary. Nod your heads. Everybody see that? I'm not making it up. Okay, they went to Mary. Now notice that. But also notice, Mary could not help them. Hello? She could not help them. She could not help them because Mary is not the solution. Now, I found the solution, and it's not Mary. All right? She's not. Why couldn't she help? She's not the solution. Jesus is the solution. Mary cannot give you salvation and give you joy. She can't do it. Yet people are still making this tragic mistake, and they call it religion. But notice, folks often go to another person to find a solution, don't we? You remember those old gals, what was it, Ann Landers? Dear Abby? They both got to be dead by now, wouldn't you think? I mean, they were 100 years old when I was a kid. Or they go to a therapist or a psychiatrist or a counselor, and they get advice from someone who, truth be told, has just as many issues as they do. You see, there's no hope to be found in all of this. The only hope is the solution to the problem, and that's Jesus. All right, so second thing I want you to see, all right, we looked at the inquiry, but now secondly, let's look at the instructions, and I got to hurry here. We saw the inquiry, and notice how they went to the wrong person. They went to the wrong person. Mary knew she was not the solution. She knew that, and so she sent them to the one who was the solution, the Lord Jesus. Now, we turn to the instructions of our text verse, and we see here a verse that is literally just filled with wisdom. First of all, notice the duty of the instructions. Mary said, here is your duty, fellas. I'm sure that this girl that got married was a family member. It could have been Mary who took charge, and it could have been Mary who hired the servants. And so she says, here's your duty, guys. You go talk to Jesus about this, and whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, folks, here is the solution to life's problems. Namely, just obeying the word of the living Savior. Oh, if we only had never veered in our country from the authority of the Word of God as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I'm telling you, folks, the devil knew exactly what he was doing when he led over 450 Bible translations and paraphrases and perversions and all the rest, and all of that took the place of the King James Bible. He knew exactly what he was doing. Get people away from the Word of God. Get them out of God's truth. When our Constitution was being hammered out, tensions were running high. And things were hotly debated. Voices were raised and tempers flared. And on a Thursday, it was suggested that the Continental Congress take a long weekend and get with God, get alone with God, and then go to church and then pray, seeking the face of God and His smile upon their work. And they did just that. They did just that. Everybody went to church, and all these men got their churches praying and seeking the face of God and His smile upon the founding of the new nation. They went before the Lord and they sought the Lord to lead them and guide them so that they would come up with the right kind of government for, of, and by the people. And then they came back on Monday, and they sat down and put the finishing touches upon our government and our Constitution. And folks, I wish that our leaders would once again go to the Lord and ask for help. We will never see God's hand upon our nation blessing and moving upon hearts until first there is a humbling of this nation before God. Let me remind you, folks, that the Apostle Peter said that judgment must begin at the house of God. It sweeps from the house of God into your house and my house. And it will soon get from your house and my house and God's house, then into the White House, and then into the people's house. But it's got to start in the church. It's got to start. The church is so vital, as Pastor Brian mentioned this morning. Right now, we're listening to anything and everything. Every voice coming down the pike telling the nation what to do. We do what men advise. And we don't listen to what the Lord advises. And folks, that is the substance of the problem today. This world is filled, literally filled, with people who would advise us to do the wrong thing. To do the wrong thing. But folks, the Lord is never going to advise us to do the wrong thing. He is never going to advise us. Our Supreme Court says, send the abortion Roe versus Wade back to the states. And man, the states, half of them had legislation sitting already developed. And the next day, like the People's Republic of Maryland, and they said, we don't care what the Supreme Court says, we're going to make abortion legal. Half the states did that, even with all the evidence. They would say, it's okay to kill babies in the womb. In some of these states, you can kill them outside the womb. That's right. New York, California. outside the womb. Shameful, isn't it? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you know, I believe it's pretty clear in this Bible, thou shalt not kill. I think it's pretty clear in this Bible, God told Jeremiah that even before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. I knew you. I never will forget going into that doctor's office. I'll never forget taking that stethoscope and listening to Joshua's heartbeat. And I'll never forget trying to figure out which heartbeat I was listening to. There was two of them in there. Two of them in there. I'll never forget Karen bringing that picture home. And you could see a child. And these murderous thugs, in the name of choice, say it's okay to kill that child. God help us. God help us. Folks, my point is, the Lord Jesus is the solution to everything. He's the solution to everything. Are you here today and not saved? Jesus is the solution. Are you here today and you're not sure you're going to heaven? Hey, Jesus is the solution. Are you here today and you're wondering, what is my life? What am I going to do with my life? Jesus is the solution for that. Hey, young people, you say, what am I going to do? Why don't you come to the one who is the solution and let him guide you? And if you do, he will guide you. I promise you that. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around. Father in heaven, you know our needs today, and I pray you'll bless this to our hearts and help us, Lord, to realize that the Lord Jesus is the solution. Everybody's looking for the solution. Well, it's right here in the Bible. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. So, Father, help us to realize that Jesus is the solution. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask you a couple of personal questions. Anybody in here this morning say, Pastor, I am not 100% sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If I died right now, I just don't know for sure. I hope I'm going to heaven, but I'm just not sure. Pray for me, preacher. I promise you, I will not embarrass you, but I will pray for you. I promise that. But I need to know where you are. So if you're not sure you're saved, you say, Pastor, pray for me. Could I pray for you this morning? Just lift your hand up where I can see it. Say, Preacher, pray for me. Yes, God bless you. You may put your hand down. Thank you. Anyone else? Pastor, I'm just not 100% sure. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, Father, you know our needs, and I pray that today will be the day that you meet the needs, that we let you meet the needs in our lives. There is at least one who said, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. Well, Father, I pray that today will be the day of salvation, and I pray that you will save that soul and do a work in that heart. And Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for loving us, for all that you've blessed us with, for all that you've done. Help us to pray for our country. Father, we need revival, not ruin. And I pray that you will send that revival. Give us the opportunity to see a genuine, heaven-sent revival. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.